Thanks for checking out Church on the Rock's message this week. We would love to help you take your next step in knowing God better. The best way to do that is visit cotr.org/next steps. Or if you're not near our physical campus, visit our online community at cotr.org/online. Enjoy the message and know that God is for you.
Say it with me. This is my Bible. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I will not leave the same as I came in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith and my life get stronger and stronger. Would you give God a shout on Sunday morning? Amen. Y'all sound so good today. We're so glad you're here. We're so glad those who've joined us online, and together God's going to do something for us huge. Amen. We're ending our series on the struggle is real. We're ending it. Did you know we don't charge for any of our services, our teaching? It's another blessing. You know, we used to charge for CDs and years ago cassettes, and a lot of churches still do that. There's nothing wrong with that. But we decided to sow it, to plant it, to give it. So every service, you can get it free. Go to our podcast, download our website, download the podcast, and you can get that free. If you haven't been with us this whole month, I encourage you to get the series free as a blessing to you from this ministry. But we've been talking about how the struggle is real. And I know we all can identify. Everybody in the sanctuary, and those of you watching online, our online campus, we all have struggles in our life. We all deal with struggles because we're in a broken world. We're in a cursed world. And so today, maybe your struggle is depression, like our sister, or oppression, or an addiction. Maybe your struggle is you can't sleep at night. Maybe your struggle, you can't get past losing a loved one. You seemingly can't get over grief. Maybe your struggle is you've been hurt through a divorce or a marriage, a conflict at home, conflict at work. I don't know what, financial. Maybe somebody did you wrong. All I know is all of us deal with struggles. And all month, I've been trying to give you the big idea, and that's this, is that we all deal with struggles, but that really isn't the biggest struggle in our life. The biggest struggle in our life, now don't miss it, is that when you're in a struggle, don't lose your faith. That's it. When you're in a struggle, stay in faith. And how do you do that, Pastor? Well, how do you stay in faith? You stand on the Word of God, you believe the Word of God, and you speak, confess, and declare God's Word until your circumstances change. Are you with me so far, church? So your biggest struggle today is that the struggle that you're in today is that you don't get into doubt or wavering or unbelief. Is that no matter what it looks like, no matter how long it's been going on, is that you stay in faith. The struggle is really over your faith. So let me show it to you, Jude and verse 3. James and Jude were half-brothers of Jesus. They grew up with him. And here's what he says. My friends, I was fully engaged in writing to you about our salvation, which is yours no less than ours, but it became urgent that I write at once and appeal to you to join in the, what's this word, church? Struggle. Say it with me. Struggle. One more time. Struggle. The scriptures has something to say about your struggle, but I want you to see something that many of us will pass right over that word struggle, and then I want you to extract the word faith. So the struggle is over your faith. We're all in some kind of struggle today, an addiction, a hurt, a wound, a scar, a relationship. We're all in some kind of struggle, but that's really not your biggest struggle, because your biggest struggle is all over you staying in faith in the struggle. Now, in the Greek language, the New Testament was written in Greek. The Old Testament was written in Hebrew. In the New Testament, this word struggle is only mentioned here once, right here. No other time in the New Testament. And you and I can relate. In the New Testament, it uses the word fight, the good fight of faith, right? We're in a fight. In the New Testament, it uses the word wrestle, that we don't wrestle with flesh and blood, but with principalities and power. So we see the word fight, and we see the word wrestle, and we see the words take captive your thoughts. We see all kinds of words that demonstrate being aggressive spiritually, and you're in a fight, and you're in a struggle. But this is the only time this word, Greek word, is used in the Bible. That tells me that this then is the biggest struggle in our life. Jesus said you'd have trials and tests and struggles, but it's not this word. This word struggle in the Greek is the only time it's used in the New Testament. What does that tell us? This is the greatest struggle that you're in today. And the greatest struggle that you're in today is all over you staying in faith when you're in a storm or a struggle. Are you with me so far, church? So what I want to do now is I want to take you to a story in the Bible that actually happened. And I want you to see the response in the struggle with Jesus and the response of his disciples. And I want us to look at this because I think it's going to help us. And out of that, I'm going to give you four keys on how to face your struggle and come out victoriously and stay in faith. I'm going to give you four takeaways. So let's look at it in Mark chapter 4. Now, I really like Mark chapter 4. You say, Pastor, why? Because it has, according to the Bible, the greatest parable in all of the Bible. You know, Jesus spoke in parables, and you see, what is a parable? It's a story, a story. And you and I both know how to connect with an audience is through stories, right? And so Jesus would tell stories or parables, and the Bible says the greatest story he ever told, the Bible says this, is in Mark chapter 4. And you know what it was? The parable of the sower sows the seed. And according to the Bible, it says this was the greatest story Jesus ever told. This is the greatest parable he ever told. And it said that if you understand this parable, then you understand how the kingdom of God operates. You still with me so far, church? Okay. So in Mark chapter 4, what is Jesus doing? Jesus is teaching his disciples all about faith. He's teaching them all about faith. He's teaching them how to get faith. He's teaching them how to grow their faith. In Mark chapter 4, he's teaching them the process of faith. And you know what? There's no greater teacher than Jesus. Am I right? There's no greater rabbi. There's no greater master. There's no greater teacher. There's no greater communicator than Jesus Christ. This really encourages me. Because even though he taught on faith to his disciples, all the way up to verse 35, now they're about to be tested over what they've been taught. Now they're about to be tested over what they've been taught. Did you know that when you get a revelation from God, you'll be tested over that revelation? Did you know that when you get a word from God, you'll be tested over that word you got from God? Did you know, aren't you glad the struggle series is about over? Did you know that whatever I teach you every month, you'll be tested over that topic that month? Because whatever you're taught, you're tested over. Jesus just taught for 35 verses, 34, on how faith works, how you get faith, how you release faith, how you work faith, and the whole process of faith. And now in verse 35, his disciples are going to be tested in a struggle slash storm. And guess what? They flunk. In the struggle, they flunk. In the struggle, his own disciples don't stay in faith. In the storm, in the struggle, his disciples are not doers of what they've just been taught. How amazing is that? Think about that, family. Most Christians are hearers but not doers of the Word of God. Pastor, I resent that. I'm not talking about y'all. I'm talking about a church in a galaxy far, far away. But according to the Bible, the majority of Christians don't do what they hear taught on Sunday. The majority of Christians, Pastor, I resent that. Don't resent that. I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about those who hear it and don't do it. Those who hear it and don't do it. Because his own disciples, Jesus, taught the word so beautifully in story form and parable form. And yet when they went and entered a struggle and a storm, they did not stay in faith. And they missed and they blew the test. So even Jesus, the best communicator, his audience, they weren't doers. His own staff, the disciples, at this point in their walk, were not doers of the word of God. Doesn't the Bible say in Mark chapter 4 that there are four types of ground, four types of soil that represents people's heart? The seed is the word of God. The sower is the teacher. And remember, only one out of the four heard it and applied it and did it. So that tells me only one out of four Christians today are doers, actually do what they hear on Sunday. How does this work? When you come to church and you hear me teach, when you're online campus and you hear me teach, you should be asking yourself, how can I apply what he's teaching in my life this week? How can I apply what he's teaching in my life this week? God, show me the steps. Give me a skill set. Give me the principles that I can apply in my life this week. That's a doer of the word of God. Old Testament story of the 12 spies. Y'all remember that family? And they sent out 12 spies, and 10 came back, and they heard they could go in, but they decided not to go into the promised land. They were a hearer, but they were not a doer. Only two out of the 12, I call that the minority. And that was Joshua and Caleb. Am I right so far, church? So the majority of Christians sit in church and they go to sleep and they don't hear the word of God, or if they do hear it, offenses and persecution and pressure comes and the struggles of life, and they don't stay in faith. They're not doers of the word of God. So here we see he's been teaching his disciples, and now they're about to be tested over what he's been teaching them. So now we see in verse 35. The same day, when the evening was come, Jesus said unto them, now if you have a red letter edition in the Bible, this is red letter. If you've got that, can you say amen? All right? Red letter means it's a promise. Don't miss this now. It's a promise from God. It's a promise from God. Everybody say, a promise from God. So Jesus had a promise, and he said, we will go over to the other side. We will get from this side of the Sea of Galilee to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. So it's a word from God. What is Jesus doing? He's giving his disciples a word from God. How does faith come? By hearing the word of God. So right at the very beginning, he's giving them a word for the struggle, the storm they're about to enter on the Sea of Galilee. Am I right so far, church? Keep me in line now. All right, next verse. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship. And there were also with him other ships. Next verse. And there arose what? A struggle, a great storm of wind, and the waves was rocking the ship, rocking the boat. Now, remember I told you that the New Testament is written in Greek. If you write in your Bible, circle the word great. This is not just a normal struggle. This is a mega. That word great for you and me is the word mega. Can you say that with me? Mega. You might be in a mega struggle today. You know, for our church this year, it's been a year of a mega struggle and storm. Right at the very beginning, with all the snow and the ice we had in St. Louis, we had to close services that affected the budget. We still haven't got back from all of that. And then the middle of the summer, what do we have? A perfect storm and water damage. And we still haven't heard back from the insurance company. We're still waiting on what they're going to do. And that was a $300,000 hit. But even though we've been in one a mega struggle as a ministry, I think we've all grown spiritually like never before in our lives individually. Can you say an amen? This has been a year of spiritual growth. And God's going to turn it all around for our good. Amen. As a church and individually as well. But you might be in a mega storm. You can't sleep. Don't have money to pay your bills. Your wife just left you. Husband just left you. Just got laid off. Something bad happened physically. You went to the doctor. You're facing a court case. You're in a mega struggle. And your world is rocking. Maybe things have been comfortable. And all of a sudden this year, everything that could be shaken, your husband, your wife, your health, your retirement, your job, your career, your calling, your self-confidence, the world is rocking your boat. What would your pastor say to you today? Stay in faith. Hang on to the promises of God. It will get you to the other side. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord a good... Let's don't patty cake. Let's give him a big praise. All right? So there arose a mega storm, a mega struggle, and it was rocking their boat. Next verse. And he, Jesus, was in the back part of the ship. Now, don't miss this. Don't miss it now. He was in the back part of the ship. Jesus, what's going on? A mega struggle, a mega storm. How is he responding? What is he doing? It says here that he's in the back part of the ship. Jesus is asleep on a pillow. Jesus is asleep on a pillow in the midst of a mega struggle. Notice they're going to all respond in fear, but he responds in faith. How could he do that? Don't miss it now. You got to really be smart to see this, and you're all smart. Type and shadow. It's called the pillow of God's promises. The pillow of God's promises. Where was he laying his head? On the pillow. Where was he laying his head? On the pillow of the promise that God had given to him that they would get to the other side. My brother and sister, you need to be laying your head on the pillow of God's promises. You need to be renewing your mind every day on the promises of God. I have a Dake's Bible that I'm preaching from today. And in the Dake's Bible, it says there are 7,000 promises in the Word of God for you and I to claim. How could Jesus be at peace when his disciples were in panic mode? Because his head was laying on the pillow of God's promises. So when you go to bed every night until you die or Jesus comes back, I want you to remember this illustrated sermon. Lay your head on the promises of God. Don't go to bed in panic or worry or fear or anxiety. Every night you go to bed with your mind renewed in the Word of God and lay your head, even though you're in a struggle that's rocking your boat. You lay your head on the pillow of God's promises. And he says he will give his beloved sweet sleep. He responded in faith, standing on the Word, and that resulted in peace. They didn't act on the Word that was given to them, and they responded in the struggle in panic. The struggle that you and I are in today is not really what we're facing in the natural. The greatest and biggest struggle is, will you remain solid, strong, staying your course, holding on, being in faith, even though everyone around you is responding with panic? What's the difference? Their heads was not laying on a pillow of God's promises. promise. Y'all with me, church? Okay. So he was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. How cool is that? So I know I'm in faith today. Because, folks, if we're not in faith, it isn't going to change for the better. I know I'm in faith, even though my world is rocking, if I have peace. I know I'm standing on a word. I know I'm in faith. I know I'm walking by faith and not by sight. If in the midst of a struggle and everybody around me is going down in panic, I've got peace on the inside. God's word, faith in God's word in the struggle will produce peace in your life. So what did he do? Let's look at it. And he was in the back part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they had to wake him up. They had to wake him up. And they said to him, Master, Rabbi, Teacher. And remember, he'd just been teaching them for 34 verses at church on how to face a struggle. He'd just been teaching them for 34 verses how to stay in faith, how faith works, how you release your faith, the process of faith. And now what? They're being tested over what they've been taught. In a struggle, would they respond in panic? Or would they respond in peace? Would they respond in faith? Or would they respond in fear? I say, for as me and my house and this house, we're going to stay in faith, remain in peace, and get to the other side. Come on, let's give God our best hand clap today. Master, don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? Don't you care about us? What are they in? Well, they're definitely not in faith. What are they in? Self-pity. They're feeling sorry for themselves, that they found themselves in a struggle. My brother and sister, the worst thing we can do is start feeling sorry for ourselves when we're in a struggle that's seemingly taking so long. We have to remind ourselves in the struggle that God is for us. And greater is He that is in us, the Holy Spirit, than the struggle that's in the world. The worst thing we can do when the world's rocking our boat is start feeling sorry for ourselves. Because I cannot be in faith and self-pity at the same time. Oh my goodness. Next verse. And he arose, Jesus, look what he did. Four things. He arose, rebuked the wind, spoke to the sea, peace be still, and the wind ceased, and there was a great, here's that word great, what was it? Mega. Here was a great calm. A mega peace. Oh my goodness. So what did he do? Can I give you the four things that Jesus did? And then if he did them, we can do them. Amen, church? Because we're doers of the word of God. Yeah? And the world's rocking our boat today. I mean, your kids are back in school getting bullied, getting picked on. How you dealing with that? Your kids are questioning you about church and the Bible and Christianity, and they're maybe away at the university and their faith is being debated, or maybe you got a kid in grade school is getting picked on. How you dealing with that? Maybe you can't meet your house payment. Maybe you just went to the doctor and you found out you have an incurable disease. How you dealing with that? See, we all are facing struggles. But the answer is, when the world is rocking our boat, is to stay in faith. What does that look like? How do you do it? Number one, what did he do? He stood up. What would that be like? That would be like, I'm not going to take this anymore. It's time for you to take a stand, my brother and sister. It's time for you to stand up and do what? Take your God-given authority and say, devil, enough is enough. You know, I remember when I was a little kid, I was a fighter. And many of you know when I was in high school, I was on the boxing team, and my sparring mate was the Golden Glove champ of the state of Iowa in my weight division. That was my sparring mate, Golden Glove champ of Iowa. I was a fighter. I can remember when I was just a little kid getting a scrap, getting kicked out of school. None of you kids follow your pastor, okay? But I would get, and I remember as a little kid on the playground, I'd draw that line. Step over that line. And I just wanted him to do it because I just love to fight. And you know what? Some of us need to do that with the devil. Devil, I'm going to draw the line, the bloodline around my family, my business, my health, my mind, my emotions, my sleep, my children. And we need to stand up. Jesus stood up, but not out of fear, not out of panic, not out of worry, not to run, because he was leaning his head on the pillow of God's promises. And when he awoke, he responded in faith because he had renewed his mind in the word of God. So number one, what do? We're going to stand up. We're going to take our God-given authority. Y'all know you got authority in the name of Jesus, right? Y'all got authority in that name. In that name, every other name has to bow. Lack, poverty, racism, sickness, cancer, migraines, worry, fear, anxiety, panic, depression. It's got to bow, my brother and sister, to the name of Jesus Christ. So you take your God-given authority, you stand up. Number two, what did he do? He spoke to it. Oh, yeah, you're supposed to speak to the mountain, aren't you? Aren't you supposed to speak to the mountain? Aren't you supposed to speak to your problem? Yeah, to your struggle? Sure, he spoke to the storm. Now, watch this now. It's called the power of binding and loosing. Aren't you supposed to speak to the mountain and tell it where to go? Be cast into the sea in Jesus' name. But you don't stop there. You don't stop with the binding. And then what are you supposed to do? The loosing. The loosing. That's number three. You're supposed to declare what you're wanting. Declare your desire. Declare what you want. Didn't he say what you bind will be bound? What you loose will be loosed. Pastor, I have no clue what that means. Bind means to stop. Loose means to allow. So what you stop in the name of Jesus has to stop in the spiritual realm. What you allow or release in the spiritual realm has to be released in the spiritual realm. It's called the power of binding and loosing. So notice the first thing Jesus did, he said, enough is enough. And he responded in faith because his head was leaning, not to his own understanding. His head was leaning on the promises of God. And so he stood up, took his authority. Number two, as the team comes out, he spoke. And number three, he declared what? Peace. He declared peace. So my brother and sister, you know you're in faith if you're in peace. But you're supposed to fill in the blank now, y'all. Online campus, you know you're in faith if you're in peace. You don't know if you're in faith if your world is not rocking or your world is rocking. Because you're not moved by what's happening around you. You're not moved by the storms and the struggles of life. Amen. You can have peace on the inside and the world be rocking your boat. But if you hold on to that peace, your boat will get to the other side. Oh, I like it. So then number four is this. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Yield to the Holy Spirit. Doesn't the Bible say greater is he? Now, the correct interpretation, family, is not Jesus there. The correct interpretation is the Holy Spirit. Greater is the Holy Spirit than them evil spirits that are in the world. So what do we need to do? We need to yield to the Holy Spirit. Now, how do you know if you've yielded to the Holy Spirit? Would you like to know real quick? I have proof. Now, I grew up in Pentecost. I grew up in Pentecostal churches. I thank God for my heritage, but boy, did I see some weird things. I saw people, you know, they'd fall under the Spirit, but they couldn't walk in it all week long. I saw them jump and dance and run about on Sunday, but moan and gripe and complain on Monday. Wow. So how do you know if you're really, if you're full of the Word, it will produce peace. Leaning your head on the promises of God like Jesus. If you're full of the Spirit, let me give you three characteristics. Romans 15, verse 13. Romans 15, can we put it up there, guys? Watch this now. If I'm believing, if I'm in faith in the struggle, then I'm full of joy, peace, and hope through the of the Holy Spirit. So if I'm yielding to the Holy Spirit, I'm not doing chicken walks. I'm not rolling in the aisles. I'm not hanging from the chandeliers. I'm not foaming in the mouth. I'm not weird. I'm not critical. I'm not holier than thou. If I am full of the Holy Ghost, if I'm yielding and led by the Holy Ghost, then when the world is rocking my boat, I'm still full of peace, I'm full of joy, and I'm full of hope in the middle of the storm. So what do we want to do, family? We want to forgive the pastor. Yeah, what do we want to do, family, is we want to be full of the Word, and you want to be full of the Spirit. Amen? And every day you want to lay your head on the promises of God's Word. I'm out of time. I sure do love you. Give God the praise, would you?
What is your next step in your faith? Well, here at Church on the Rock, we would love to help you. Maybe it's to learn more about discovering what it means to belong to a church family, being part of a small group, or using your God-given gifts to serve others. Head over to cotr.org/next steps, where you can find out more to all of these. Or if you're part of our online community, visit us at cotr.org/online. Have a great week, and don't forget that God is for you.